My grandmother now passed on to her reward for almost 2 years now. Always said the same thing to me on Mother's Day mornings when I would call her. God bless the time change. I could call her before church and wish her a happy Mother's Day so that she didn't call me later in the day and remind me that I hadn't. She'd say, "Son, you sure you preach about Mother's Day?" I said, "Well, grandmother, I'll mention something from the in the announcement." She said, "Announcement's not good enough. You got to preach it." I've fired pastors for not preaching it. So consider Mother's Day mentioned from the pulpit this morning because I love my job. Unfortunately, today's text don't particularly support a sermon on Mother's Day, the holiday, or on mothering the concept, on the value of mothers, or those who have served in that capacity in our own lives. Today's texts deal with something rather stranger. A portion of the Acts of the Apostles that Byron read is seemingly about the election of Matthias, the new 12th apostle. Yet, to the careful and skeptical reader, you may have noticed there is a large omission in today's text from Acts. Specifically, verses 18 through 20. Did you wonder what those were about? This is where Peter describes, in no lack of detail, the gruesome end of Judas Iscariot, who, according to different accounts, either falls headlong, bowels gushing out into a ditch, or hangs himself. Neither seeming to be excellent fodder for Mother's Day sermons. John, written later, we suppose, with other interests, we know, cleans up the demise of Judas just a little bit. Did you catch it? It went by rather fast. I guarded them. I kept them. I did not lose a single one, except that one who was destined to be lost. It's what we used to say when Erica and I worked in boarding school and we'd take students out on trips and we'd come back and the headmaster would say, "How did it go?" We'd quote that verse. Didn't lose any of them, except that one. All the Gospels point to Judas having had it coming, never described in any other terms except the one who would betray him, the one who had the devil on his mind. And so his end is neatened up in John and omitted from the Acts of the Apostles lesson. But when it comes right down to it, I don't believe that's the most scandalous thing going on in today's text. Certainly in these late and dangerous days, we can all stomach a little gore. We can all deal with a little betrayal. No, it is the election of Matthias that gives me the most pause this morning. Did it bug you? Sure, it seems important, not only to Peter, but to the tradition that we have 12 apostles where there had become 11. In many churches, there are 12 vestry persons, although here we have 15. 12 is a good number. Certainly, the apostles can't go around limping with just 11. Who will guard the common purse? Who will do the work that Judas had done? But did they really cast lots? I mean, this is a pretty important job, one would think, this being the 12th apostle. One that we might want to have an interview process for, maybe a few debates. We like debates these days, don't we? Look at resumes. Put some thought into it, ask some people we trust. Yet, it seems the apostles rolled dice to see who God had selected. Can you imagine electing officials that way? Maybe that would give us greater comfort, depending on how you feel. But I think it would scandalize us. And particularly the casting of lots. I mean, this wasn't the drawing out of slips of paper. This wasn't the flipping of coins. This was the casting of lots. We had heard about the casting of lots, hadn't we? It wasn't too many weeks ago that we talked about the casting of lots for Jesus' clothing. A singular scene in the history of Christianity that ruins games of chance for Christians for all of eternity. Yet it is, it seems, the preferred method for selecting this disciple. Why would the disciples, seeking to reorganize and reinvigorate themselves, choose this bottom-of-the-barrel approach? The text doesn't say. But you know what I think? I think it really didn't matter. Blasphemy, you'd respond. You just outlined to us all the importance of having this 12th apostle. But that's not what I have in mind. What I have in mind is that they had two good choices. The disciples could not have made a mistake. Justus Barsabbas, Matthias, pick as you will. God seems to say, or roll dice. You've already done the work of discernment. These days, fancy words like discernment tend to be reserved for big decisions, churchy decisions, like whether or not one is called into a life of ordained ministry. Or who might be the 12th apostle. Either that, or because church people are shrewd, it's used as a distancing word. You ask somebody to be on the vestry, they'll say, well, I need to do some discernment about that. I need to pray about that. And I'm not convinced that in every case they actually do. But discernment, that is, for the purposes of the rest of this sermon, holy decision-making, is an ancient and venerable and important practice, not just within the church, but within the lives of God's faithful people. And in fact, if we can clear away the dross of today's lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, the gore of Judas's demise and the scandal of the casting of lots, we find an example of discernment that can be used for us in almost any case in our lives. The apostles saw a need. They experienced a lack. They saw an opportunity to undo the stain that Judas had put upon their group. They had discerned the value of their ministry. And then they prayed. We're looking for someone to be the 12th, they said. It should be someone who has been with us from the beginning, from the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, straight on through to the resurrection. The value of the ministry of those first apostles was as first-hand witnesses to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Certainly there may have been those within the community of faith with more influence. Perhaps with more intellect, perhaps with more resources, perhaps with more charisma. But the disciples were able to see clearly that the most important thing to the promulgation of the faith in those earliest days was having witnesses who had seen not just the glory of the resurrection, not just the scandal of the cross, but had seen the active ministry of Jesus. And so there were two that were counted. In not simply being willing to jump into that decision, once options were presented, the disciples prayed. Prayed for the guiding of God's will. The presence of the Holy Spirit in their decision making. And they waited. And I want to believe that the answer came back, you have done good discernment. Just make a choice. Friends, how often in our lives do we have the opportunity to make choices? To move forward in this way or that? And how often do we, in our zeal to be in command of our lives, jump forward into any decision? Or seek the counsel of everyone in the world except maybe God? How often are we presented with the opportunity for discernment? And scratch our heads wondering, well, what does that look like? Here to tell you today, it's really not that hard. It is a process for which we are well equipped. It is a process of figuring out what are the things that are important and then praying to God for His opinion as well. And then the fortitude to move forward in the way that God requires. Whether it is in that classic sense of discernment that gets tossed around in churchy circles, big decisions, life changers, answers that come back slightly different than what you had expected, or in the most mundane and simple and comfortable areas of our life. Friends, this is the work of faith. That transcends simply coming to church or doing the right things. These are the very ethical dilemmas that are the food of our walk with Jesus. And they are worthy of our reflection. Not only in the moment of crisis, but whenever we have an opportunity. So friends, on this Mother's Day, this Sunday after the Ascension, this second Sunday in May, call it what you will, I commend you to discernment about whatever God has put in front of you these days. Amen.